Y'all, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. The College World Series getting underway this weekend. Vanderbilt will be taking on Arizona on Saturday in their first game of the College World Series. And to help us talk about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in Vanderbilt baseball coach Tim Corbin. Tim, thanks so much for taking time to join us this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you.
So, Tim, first off, congratulations on yet another great series against East Carolina. Just what kind of were your takeaways from your team and just the fight that they showed to get through those two games against East Carolina?
Well, I think pitching and defense, you get into this time of year and the margin between teams is very slim. And I think, you know, with the last two regional, super regional experiences, it certainly has pressed us a little bit in different ways. We had to come up with some offense against Georgia Tech, and those are very difficult games. And East Carolina, completely different games, more pitching and defense. They certainly pitched very well. And for us to even have a chance, Kumar and Jack had to be very, very good, and they both were. And we certainly got good pitching out of the bullpen, too. So, you always want offense, but you always can't have offense. And if the friction on the other side is really good, which it was, it's difficult to come up with runs. So you have to hold people down, and that's what we did.
So Tim, you mentioned defense too, and I think that's probably an underrated part of last weekend. Some really big plays behind both those guys, but also bullpen performing very well. But just overall, like clean baseball. Against a very good team that it was not easy. For anybody who watched those two games, I mean, that's a legit team that had a really good chance of being in Omaha, and maybe it looked in the final result easier than it actually was. But what about just the collective, clean play and even, some of the base running things that you guys did? I mean, as a baseball coach overall, just happy with the overall, I guess, step up from your team?
Yeah, I think you said it, Joe. I mean, the cleanliness of the games was important. It had to be. And that's what I told the boys when we were reflecting back on what had happened over the course of the weekend. I said, we played very clean baseball. We just didn't give anything away. And we gave, I think, if you include walks and a wild pitch, there were only 7 free bases over 2 games. And if you do that, you stand put yourself in pretty good shape. And we did that. The outfield defense was outstanding. I think sometimes, and you may have referred to this too, it looks easier than it is when you have Enrique and Isaiah and Javi Vaz out there, but they cover a lot of ground very well. And then certainly CJ behind the plate. I mean, he took away the running game, and East Carolina had a very potent offense that relied on a lot of different factors besides slugging the ball. They could run, they move, and we felt like the only way we could contain them is keep the leadoff hitter off base, not give them chances, and play clean baseball ourselves. And we did that throughout the infield, and we certainly threw enough strikes. And I think those two parts right there really gave us a chance to win.
Now, Tim, one thing I don't think is receiving enough attention from this past weekend that I was blown away by, and that is Jerry Stackhouse nailing the national anthem. He comes out there on Friday. I had no clue Jerry Stackhouse could sing the way he did, and he just nailed the national anthem. What did you think of Stackhouse's performance under the big lights singing the national anthem in Game 1?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because, I've seen him sing it at NBA games as a player. And when he first got here, I asked him if he would ever consider doing it. And it was a surprise to me that he was doing it on Friday morning. But I just thought it got everything off to a big lift. I mean, when you hear that song and you hear it sung with passion and both Jerry and then Keisha Rainey singing on Saturday, I mean, my hair stands straight up when I hear it sung like that. I mean, there's so much emotion to it. And in a time where you want to feel that emotion as a country, and you certainly want to feel that emotion inside your own environment. We did, but you know, I'm grateful that Jerry would want to do it and did it and did it so well.
Yeah, that was I had no idea, and he was. I mean, as he said, he came up the press box and he's like, you know, he's done that in arenas, but it's a different sort of thing in terms of how, what you're hearing, you know, with the feedback when you're outside. So, but yeah, that was awfully impressive. A lot of impressive performances at Hawkins Field this weekend. So, Tim, you talk a lot about, you know, appreciating things and just sort of putting aside all the outside stuff and just do what you love to do and enjoy the moment. Is it now that you guys have gotten to Omaha, is it easier to, I guess, convey that message, or is it easier? Is it easier received because there, you know, you can wipe away the, you know, the expectation of getting there, and now you can just sort of enjoy it? Or how do you approach that as a coach?
Well, I think you have to enjoy it. I mean, I think there's a tourist part to this for sure, and you know, there's an off factor to it. And you remember, these kids are 18, 19, 20 years old, and a lot of them have never been here before. So you want them to enjoy the fact that they got there. And then I think at some point in time, which we talk about, you transition from a tourist to a player. And that'll start to get, I would say, start to move into that direction, you know, tomorrow and Friday, and certainly when you play on Saturday. But I think the first part in getting there and just allowing the kids to enjoy what they see, get them to the stadium, certainly the hotel, eat as a group. I think there's a celebration piece that can't be missed, and they have to be able to own that, and they have to be able to recognize it, and I want them to. Those are just easy human emotions. But at the same time, they're mature enough to know once they get there, okay, this is a business trip. We've got a lot to do, and we will be able to do that and manage it once we get there.
Vanderbilt baseball coach Tim Corbin on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Tim, obviously, as you know, if you get to this point, every team you're going to be going up against is a great team and has had an awesome season to this point. Taking on Arizona on Saturday night under the lights, what stands out to you when you look at this Arizona team?
Hitting, for sure. I mean, their offensive punch throughout their lineup. You know, you've got five, six guys that are hitting over 350, and they're so well-balanced. I mean, they can hit the long ball, and they can hit for average. That's a run-producing team. Any team that hits 330 during the season is very, very dangerous, and I think you're wondering how can you stop that. And that's not minimizing what they've done off the mound either, because they've been pitching very well as of late, and you see what they did. They beat an Ole Miss team that beat us several times. So if they've done that and have done that and then beaten a lot of good teams and won 45 games, then you know they're very dangerous. But I think at first glance, when you look at Arizona, it's the hit. They hit the ball, and we're going to have to be able to contain that.
Safe to assume what you've been doing all year, rocker and then lighter, would be the plan, or do you consider any other sort of, you know, change?
No, we'll roll that way. I think any other change would send a mixed message to the kids, and we're pretty consistent. Once we start moving in the direction, we kind of know what we're going to do, unless we feel like it benefits the team. But what benefits the team is what we've been doing, and we're going to do it that way.
So Maldonado and Murphy, exactly what you wanted to see out of them this past weekend, Tim. And obviously, you know, you're probably going to have to reach deeper as you go through Omaha. What about guys like, you know, Ethan Smith? I know that he had a nice outing in the course of this tournament. Hugh Fisher, I mean, where do you think you are in terms of pitching depth and bullpen depth?
I think we're in pretty good shape. In McIlvain, we've got pieces, and they threw yesterday, which is good. And you know, you still have Patrick Riley and Christian Little, so you have certain pieces that haven't been used in you know, a little bit of time, but they all threw yesterday off the mound and against hitters. So I think we're as in good a shape as what we could be. I think, you know, it's just going to come down to confidence and the ability to execute in that environment more than anything else. And we just got to, you know, it's first game, and once you do everything you can in a tournament like this to be successful in the first game, and then after that, then you reevaluate and see what you can use going forward. But this is spaced out enough to where it can help you if you win, and even help you when you lose. You know, it allows you some comeback time. So I think we're in decent shape.
Tim, last thing for you here. Obviously, Carter Young, a massive hit in the fifth inning of game two, driving in a couple of runs against East Carolina. He's been battling back, getting more at-bats, getting healthier. How much more confident does Carter Young seem to you right now as he's tried to battle his way back from injury?
Better. Better. It's certainly better. I think a couple of weeks ago he was trying to find his timing, and then he was still trying to find his timing over the Super Regional as well. But as you mentioned, that big hit does a lot for you. It does a lot for your confidence. And yesterday he had a good day too. He hit the ball the other way several times, and I was glad to see that. So Carter's a very there's not a lot of blips in that kid's personality. He gives you defense every single day, and the fact that he's a switch hitter gives you a pretty good look against a left-hander, right-handed pitcher, and then there's some pop in his bat too. But I like where he's trending right now, and I like where he's feeling. I think the bottom line is he feels better, and if he feels better, then mentally that's going to suit him.
Okay, actually, one more quick one, Tim. What about Tate Colwick? Any change there?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. Getting better. You know, it's that day by day. Yesterday he hit on the field, which was a good sign. He's got a smile on his face. So, I think he's trending in the right direction. So, within a couple more days, Joe, we ought to have a better idea. He's on the roster, so he's coming. He's playing if he can. But at the same time, we'll just kind of make sure that he's full go if he can play.
Well, Tim, we really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning as you guys head off to Omaha. Looking forward to the game on Saturday night against Arizona. Good luck, and we'll talk to you down the road. Appreciate you taking time to do this.
Well, likewise. Thank you both very much.
Absolutely. Thanks, Tim Corbin, Vanderbilt baseball coach, has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. When we come back, we'll react a little bit to what Tim Corbin had to say there and discuss this Vanderbilt team and where this is starting to fit in terms of the all-time great programs in college sports. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. This Father's Day, ESPN 102.5 The Game is saluting frontline fathers. Submit written descriptions of fathers who are serving on the front lines, including in the military, hospital workers, firefighters, or police. This week, we will air those submissions via call-ins, text messages, on our website, and on social media as well. Visit thegamenashville.com now for more information. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Thanks to Tim Corbin, Vanderbilt baseball coach, for joining us in the last segment. Joe, I believe they're heading off to Omaha today. So taking on Arizona on Saturday night. I think the send-off today at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, fans can send them off at 11 a.m. today. Before we get through this segment, I'll find the details of my email. But they're inviting fans to come, send them off. They can park over there. And, 11 o'clock, and then they're off to Omaha. So
going to be an interesting matchup. As Tim Corbin pointed out in the last segment, Arizona, they can mash. They can hit the ball very well, and that's going to be the challenge for Vanderbilt as they head into the first game of the College World Series coming up on Saturday night. Interesting comments there from Tim Corbin as well. Carter Young, we know how good he's been all season long for Vanderbilt, and he sustains, the big injury, and he's come back in, and defensively, he's been fine. As Tim Corbin points out, pretty much what you're going to get defensively from Carter Young on a nightly basis. But it's been a process, especially as a switch hitter, trying to come back in and find your timing again offensively and getting through the injury offensively as well. It was a pretty massive hit from Carter Young in game two against East Carolina to drive in those two runs. And if they can get him going again offensively with the power that he also brings to the table, that's a pretty big deal for a Vanderbilt offense with, as well as things went against East Carolina on the mound. Probably going to have to find a way to generate more runs in Omaha.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Colwick would help too. So that's significant that, that he's getting better. It's a bruise, but, those can be rough. I mean, it was clear he hurt himself on that play. Carter Young, huge. I mean, defensively, huge for them. And then, I mean, he's one of the best, you know, hitters for power on the team and average. I mean, he's one of their best players. So the fact that he can, you know, hit both ways again and be comfortable is big deal. And so, you know, going for Natty 3.
Yep.
And Natty 3 here, I'll give you a trivia question. How many programs in college baseball history have more than that?
4.
That's a good guy. I'd probably be there too. There's actually 7.
Okay.
There are 7 that have 4 or more, but you get from 2 to 3 for Vanderbilt, and you know, you're in a real select group. And in fact, Arizona is one of those teams.
Yep.
They have 4. And now, of course, they haven't won one in quite a while. I guess it's been not quite a decade, but you know, this is one of those. You get this, and there's actually only one SEC team program with more ever, which is of course LSU,
yep.
And they've got 6 titles. But I mean, this is kind of rarefied air, Vanderbilt. I mean, just going 5 and 10 years. No one should reasonably expect that you would go to Omaha every other year over a decade. That's a lot. But to get that 3rd title, it's a separator. And then you start talking about, you know, where this team is in terms of some of the other great programs and different eras, obviously, with some of them in the history of the sport. Arizona State, you know, has been a great, you know, Barry Bonds, but so many other great players and some great teams. Texas is a blue blood. And it's interesting because I don't think of USC anymore, really, with college baseball, but they are by far the kind of like UCLA in men's hoops.
Yep.
USC is by far the leader in championships. They have 12.
Yeah.
But not the last one was, well, a year you know well, Tennessee football fan, 1998.
Yeah. It's been a while.
And it's kind of how they're, you know, like they're not really a big player as much nearly at all anymore.
Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, no way to know, but the chances were decent that Vandy could be going for 3 titles in a row when you consider they missed a year of rocker and lighter because of COVID in 2020.
Oh, believe me. Oh, yes. I have, in fact, might be writing about this at some point. See, like if especially like if they win, you think about what could have been. So think about, you know, Austin Martin last year,
yeah,
and some of these guys, they had a much more potent veteran lineup to go with. I mean, Rocker is Rocker. Rocker's been Rocker from day one.
Yep.
So you know you got that. I mean, I guess you could say, well, maybe Jack Leiter, maybe this last year has helped him and all this. Maybe.
Still pretty good.
But, yeah, he had some pretty good stuff as a freshman, so no doubt. But you don't want to, you know, if you're a Vanderbilt fan, you don't want to look at it that way. Everybody lost out. I mean, people couldn't even play the thing, you know. But yes, this could be a three-peat attempt right now.
And look, obviously their chances are good heading into this. They're the favorite heading into the College World Series. If they win a 3rd title, I mean, this is the 5th time that they've been there in the history of their program. You get there 5 times, you end up winning 3 of them. It's a pretty good percentage for Tim Corbin and company, and it's amazing. And, you know, the guys on Darren Donick and Chase were kind of talking about the journey to get to this point for Tim Corbin and how, you know, he had to build it from the ground up, and he did. And we know what Vanderbilt baseball has become. Like, you can make an argument this is not only the best program in baseball, but it's one of the best programs in all of college sports right now. I mean, obviously, I mean, you've got Alabama football, and, you know, there's a whole bunch of different teams in basketball that you could kind of put this label on, whether it's Duke or Kentucky or whatever you want to go with it, but college baseball right now, Vanderbilt, I believe, is the elite program in the country. And it's pretty incredible to think about exactly where this program here in Nashville fits in on the greater college landscape of the, I guess, 3 quote-unquote major sports in college sports.
No, for sure. Look, I often reject the – there's a lot of schools out there in Duke basketball – falls in this category too, that want to, like, because they are a good university, they want to apply that to athletics.
Yeah.
And I think in a lot of cases it's just not the case. As someone who, you know, covered Michigan and Michigan State, sometimes you'd hear that. Or Notre Dame had some admissions stuff, but for the most part, like, if you're good enough, Duke, you can play at Duke. You don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar. They've had great student athletes. You know, but it's not across the board like there's some huge higher academic standard, Michigan football, you know, most of these places. But Vanderbilt is a tough place to go to school. And they don't get the same advantages as athletes that a lot of places have. So that's part of the equation. Look, it is like Alabama in terms of so many pro prospects, the recruiting classes, and the pros who come back and are part of the program. I think that's a huge part of it. I understand anybody who says, well, okay, baseball and football aren't the same. And they aren't. And it's harder to get to that in football. But I still think it does deserve that kind of recognition overall because it's excellent on every front.
No, it is. And the program that Vanderbilt has been able to build here with Tim Corbin leading the way is awesome. And now they head into a situation now where you look at their side of the bracket, and Tim Corbin talked about it. I mean, Arizona, they're potent offensively. So, I mean, you heard him. He's not going to change up the way he approaches it. Kumar Rocker going to be going against Arizona coming up on Saturday. The question is, can Kumar Rocker continue to be the Kumar Rocker that we've seen in postseason play up until this point? Because if he can, good luck to you, Arizona. It's going to be difficult. I don't care how good you are at hitting the baseball. It's going to be difficult to solve that guy if he's on like he's been on his last couple of outings especially.
I mean, 5-0 with an 0-6-3 at this point. I mean, that's a ridiculous standard to try to keep living up to every time out. But at this point, if he's not at least really good, it would just be a big surprise. But, you know, it's a different group of hitters, as Tim Corbin pointed out, potent lineup. And obviously it's so important for Vanderbilt to get through this one, win this game, be in the winner's bracket, and then you're playing Monday lighter against, you know, the winner of the other game. And that's a huge part of the formula here. If you get into that loser's bracket and you have to fight your way back,
yep,
now you really are straining your pitching. So it's, look, those two guys, you get to the final series, that's when you really feel good about how your team is built. You know, it's better in the second phase of these setups, but it's good at all times to have Rocker and Leiter.
So what do we think about this Vanderbilt team as they head into the College World Series, and how big of an effect are Tennessee fans having on Vanderbilt fans as we head into the College World Series as well? We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. ESPN 94.9 is the home for Nashville Sounds baseball. Tonight, the Sounds take on the Gwinnett Stripers, the AAA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. The pregame show with Jeff Hem starts at 5:50 and first pitch is at 6:05. Nashville Sounds baseball on ESPN 94.9, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans and 312 Pizza Company. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Discussing the College World Series, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Will in Nashville says, great coverage of Vanderbilt baseball. Great interview with Corbin. Thanks, guys. Keep up the great work. Y'all are the best. You're the best, Will.
Why don't we get more thoughts. Where's Heidi and Dixon with these praising texts? You know, we need more texts like that.
I know.
I'm only going to read the positive sunshine blowing text from now on.
Exactly.
I don't really read that many anyway, so.
Maybe I'll read.
Leave that to you.
I'll read only the sunshine blowing text.
Yeah, you know, let's start feeling better about ourselves.
Let's go back to the text line. Got a texter that says, we know it's always a slippery slope to ever look ahead in sports, but us fans can't help but do it. If Vanderbilt and Tennessee meet in the championship series, where would this rank on the best sporting events in the state's history?
See, then you'd get into the whole college baseball thing. Because there are people that are just like, yeah. Like I don't follow it. I don't care about it. I don't get emotionally invested in it. I get emotionally invested in my football team, or my basketball team, my hockey team, Major League Baseball team. I don't get invested in this. So here's a question back to that, and this is, I always find this interesting one. You know, in this state, you think about major championships. You know, the Titans were so close in the one Super Bowl. The Preds were so close 4 years ago. Tennessee football got one long, long ago now, but you know it's in our lifetimes.
It is.
Memphis was so close. God, talk about a major championship that should have been won there. Is college baseball, is this a major championship?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, if that's the case, Vanderbilt's already got two,
right? So they're defending. They're the defending national champs.
Yeah. I don't know.
There's some people that would absolutely say no, But where's the line drawn? I mean, men's and women's basketball is an absolute yes.
Sure.
Is it not?
I'd say yes. Look, I would say yes.
Okay.
I would too. I do think
it's close.
A lot of people would say no.
That would actually be a pretty good poll question. Ryan Paul Arthi's ignoring us.
Maybe he's over there
just doing his own thing. Come on, let's get this poll question up there.
I thought you were supposed to put a poll question up at Joe Rex Road on
Twitter.
You
are fully capable, Joe.
Oh, the poll of whether I should apologize for my Nick Westbrook-Akina story?
Yeah,
I'll do that. I'm focused on the show.
We heard that at 6 o'clock, my guy.
I'm focused on the show right now. Nothing's happened. This is my duties to say beautiful, exciting things on the show. Porth, you're in there just, messing around. Put a poll question out.
Jeez.
No, but really, though, I think
we already have one up.
Well, we can have two.
Sure. You could also have one.
I think I've put one up ever? Is that right?
What was it?
Yeah, and you were proud of it. Yeah.
I know. What was it?
You put up your poll question about the Tennessee coaching search, and I think it was like Gus Malzahn. Hugh Freeze.
Yeah.
And Hugh Freeze ended up winning, and I can't remember who the other two were.
God, Hugh Freeze won that thing. Yeah, because obviously my big thing was Tom Allen. Yeah.
And Lane Kiffin.
I failed to put Josh Heupel on that one.
You did.
So I guess I should apologize for that, Kaharsky, huh? I should apologize because new information came up.
Get hyped. Just
oversight by you.
Yeah, new information. So apologize for something that was true at the time. Great.
Chris
in Nashville. I don't think I'm going to put it up.
Chris in Nashville says, the Memphis involves basketball with Bruce Pearl. The one versus two. I remember that game. That was a pretty big sporting event.
That was awesome.
Would this be ahead of that? College basketball, it's a grander scale. Now, that's a regular season game, too.
Yeah, I think this would be – I mean, yes. This is for the national championship.
Yeah.
Now, look, would I say that like a men's or women's college basketball national championship is a bigger deal than college baseball? I would. I mean, I think it's just a bigger audience. More people care. So, yes. But that one game, which was awesome, as just a college hoops fan, I was all in on that game. I remember I watched every second of that game. It was great. But you're talking about days of buildup in a week together with probably, I don't know, maybe not 50-50, but like a lot of fans of both teams in a stadium. Yeah, it would be a big deal. I'm not putting it over, like the Preds getting to the cup final or anything like that, or anything that, the Titans would do, the Grizzlies would do, if you're talking about statewide or the Vols, football or whatever, but it would be a very, unique. It's a unique event anyway. And I think it lends itself to the way they set it up. It's such a long period of time. If you got to that with both teams building up, with winning these huge games to get there, I think you'd have the state really wrapped up in it. I really do.
So do you think Vanderbilt fans are enjoying this run any less based on the success that Tennessee has had and all of the hype right now around Tony Vitello and this Tennessee baseball program?
I don't know.
Because this has been their thing for a long time.
I think it's an annoyance to a lot of them. You know what I mean? It's like this should be – but I think you can look at it in a different way and embrace it. But I think some are like, okay, yeah, I don't want to hear – I mean, some people just hate Tennessee, Vanderbilt fan and vice versa.
Sure.
So I think it's an annoyance that Tennessee is part of it. But I would argue to them, Tennessee being a part of this – it increases the overall discussion of it. So to me, I think it's still good. I think it's good for you, your program, your sport that you love if Tennessee's good. I think there's more discussion of, next year, are we going to be all in on this series? Probably. And I don't even remember them like 2 years ago. They played. Okay.
I'm sure
this year it became a thing. Well, Tennessee, I actually do remember they won at least one of those games. It was a big deal. But, no, this is actually good for Vanderbilt, I would argue. But I think a lot of Vanderbilt fans are annoyed.
I think they are, too. I'm interested to see if it gets to that point where it's Tennessee and Vanderbilt in the final. Like, I get why Vanderbilt fans would be annoyed by it, because this has been their team, their program. They're here every year. And Tennessee, I mean, there's no question about it. Tennessee is stealing some of the spotlight away. My counter argument would be
Tennessee is also probably adding some spotlight to Vanderbilt. Like, if you get to that point, I think the interest level around here, if it's Vanderbilt versus whoever in the final game, if it's Texas. Vanderbilt versus Texas,
good series.
People will be interested. It's going to be a good series. But there won't be as many people interested around here as if it's Vanderbilt-Tennessee. I mean, there will be this will be a big deal around here if it's Vanderbilt-Tennessee.
If it's Vanderbilt-Tennessee, I won't say entire state because, to your point, Joe, not everybody watches college baseball. But anyone who has even market interest in it would be invested in a Vanderbilt-Tennessee best of three for an Natty.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, I would argue baseball and softball – and, you know, Tennessee's had some great softball teams. I would include them in the major championship discussion. Like you said, a lot of people wouldn't. But to me, it's like, is the championship event like primetime national television? And, I mean, even ratings. Again, the softball World Series crushed in ratings. Now, okay, Vanderbilt has won championships in bowling. I mean, that's on the other side of it.
Yeah.
You know, golf, tennis. I mean, even to me, like track and field, you have like Olympic athletes that come out of college, but like people don't really, to me, gymnastics, like people watch individuals at the Olympic level. That's what they call them, the Olympic sports in a lot of cases, but I would count this. And, I know it's a challenge this year cause you're still going to have NBA and NHL going on, but I think it's an event that does capture a lot of people. And yeah, there's a lot of people that are going to be new to college baseball from this, I think. And you have to thank Tennessee for that. And again, I think that's also good for Vanderbilt if you look at it from the 30,000 foot view.
Let's go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, the difference between UT and Vandy fans, UT fans are indifferent about Vandy. On the flip side, Vandy fans take just as much joy in Tennessee losing as they do with Vandy winning.
Yeah, so there's a Tennessee fan.
What do you think of that?
Well, it's a Tennessee fan. I mean, there are Tennessee fans who absolutely despise Vanderbilt. Now, I think in football that had been true, right?
Agreed.
I mean, forever and ever. It's like they're an afterthought. You're worried about Alabama. You're worried about Florida,
Georgia,
et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. So, and you still are more worried about them. You're trying to now catch those teams. But also, like, you actually are in a rivalry with Vanderbilt in football, whether you like it or not. It's like the opposite. Like, baseball could be playing for the national championship, and Tennessee football and Vanderbilt are playing for, like, less humiliation every year, you know? Like, avoid humiliation every year. But you can't say anymore that Tennessee just dismisses Vanderbilt. Right?
Mostly not.
You're a Tennessee fan. Come on.
Unfortunately, I don't.
I mean, it does. It's not true anymore.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chris texting in, Tennessee baseball having success is in fact an annoyance to Vanderbilt fans. There were many times during the regional and super regionals when fans were checking scores in the stands, and when they saw Tennessee won or was leading, they sounded very angry about it when telling the person next to them. This coming from Chris.
This sounds like a Tennessee plant in the Vanderbilt in Hawkins Field. But, no, I don't doubt it at all. I don't doubt it at all. Look, and again, I try to limit the Michigan references, but, like, I have been in stadiums where Michigan State is, like, winning a game and the fans are cheering. But when they show on the screen that Michigan's losing to Appalachian State, now there's where you get some noise, baby. You know, I mean, it's how it goes. Taking absolute pleasure in the misery of your rival is a wonderful part of sports.
Seth on the text line. For some Doors fans, excitement is more tempered not because of Tennessee being there, but because getting this far is now expected. The expectation is to win it all.
Well, that's a good point. I think that, I mean, that's a different discussion, but I mean, that's probably part of the whole thing. I certainly couldn't help but notice the difference, and there should have been a difference, in how Vanderbilt celebrated getting to Omaha and how Tennessee did, right? Now, although most of these Vanderbilt guys, if they were even on the team 2 years ago, they weren't playing. But still, there is an expectation. And so that kind of maybe takes away some of the thrill, whereas Tennessee, I mean, it's just that was a big, big deal. So that's part of the cost of success is you win it all or it's a failure somehow. I mean, 5 out of 10 years, you should not expect your college baseball program to make Omaha 5 out of 10 years.
Got a texture that says, I've never been interested in college baseball, but my father-in-law is a huge Tennessee fan, so I kind of started watching it with him recently, and now I'm all in. I think there's a lot of that going around right
there
now.
There is, and it's fun to watch. And just, yeah, it's different for me. Like, you're watching Vanderbilt, and just it's just such a great team, young in some spots, but obviously those pitchers are like you know you're going to be watching these guys for a long time if you love baseball. And Tennessee, I mean, I think they have some guys too, but Tennessee has this collective just thing going, this mojo, and it's probably a lot to do with Vitello that's irresistible, I think.
When we come back, we'll continue this conversation. Got a lot more of your texts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Some breaking news in the NBA as well, all that coming up next. Right now, though, got to tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook, and it's always exciting when a player scores a goal in the Euros, but this year, it's twice as exciting because FanDuel is paying out double the winnings when you bet on a player to score during a Euro 2020 game. Just sign up for FanDuel Sportsbook, enter promo code ROB, and pick your goal scorer for a shot at two times the payout. No matter who you pick, FanDuel will double your payout up to $250, and you'll have your bonus in less than 72 hours. There's no better place to bet Euro 2020 than on the FanDuel Sportsbook. It's America's number one sportsbook. They've got the best betting lines, fast payouts that are safe and secure and easy to use. So sign up for FanDuel Sportsbook with promo code ROB and choose any player in the anytime goal scorer market for a chance to double your winnings. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. Must wager in designated offer market. A $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max bonus of $250. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. This Friday, it's your chance to participate in the Nashville SC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. If you guess correctly which player scores a goal in the game this Friday night, you win a prize pack and a 4-pack of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. The next chance to participate is this Friday morning at 9:45. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, discussing the College World Series, thinking about a potential Vandy-Tennessee College World Series final. What would your interest level be in that? What does that do for college baseball in this state? Let us know on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. JC in Goodlettsville, Vanderbilt versus UT in football the last 10 years is 5-5. UT fans are annoyed. Same for baseball.
Yeah, but they're more annoyed that like their team's been crappy.
Yes.
You know? Like, In 16, it was a costly, cost Tennessee the Sugar Bowl. They'd already blown the East by losing at South Carolina, but it cost them the Sugar Bowl. And some of these years, it's just like two bad teams playing. And is it true?
In the last 10? This last matchup was a doozy.
Yeah, it was a real treat for all college football fans. Isn't it true that they have the same number of points scored too? I don't know if it's in the last 10, but or in the last so many games, yeah. It's like even in points scored. So. Yeah, that's very annoying. But again, it's like that's a symptom of a bigger problem for Tennessee. Like, you'd rather be Tennessee and be annoyed by Vanderbilt hanging with you because like James Franklin has elevated the program, right? I mean, that's still annoying, but at least then that means like them hanging with you is them rising to something rather than you have been dragged down to the fighting to stay out of the cellar of the East. That's the bigger problem.
I guess my question for Vanderbilt fans is, would you rather have like a legitimate rivalry with Tennessee in baseball? And if you're a big college baseball fan, a big Vandy baseball fan, to bring more attention to your sport? Or would you rather Tennessee go back to like Tony Vitello leaves and they just suck again? And you just laugh at Tennessee baseball? Which one would you rather have?
There's a lot of Vanderbilt fans that heard your last part and like, yep, give me that. But you know what? This is where it's – if you hate Tennessee to a certain point, like you just hate even like looking at orange, then you're definitely taking the second option. But I would argue if you can step back a little bit and think about, you know, you can't worry about, to me, and we've talked like Farragut, you know, there's some recruiting battles that may happen. You can't worry about Vanderbilt suffering for this. I mean, Tim Corbin will go to Washington or California or
he's gonna be
New
fine.
York, and he'll get top recruits. So I think there's more upside than downside if you don't have the blinding rage when you see the color orange.
which I think a lot of fans probably do.
Which is great. I mean, the more I'm all for that. You know,
there needs to be more hatred in college sports.
Exactly.
Needs to be. Well, college sports is less of a big deal. Pro, it's bad. I mean, there's very few rivalries anymore that have any spice to them. I'd love to see a Tennessee baseball, Vanderbilt baseball rivalry kind of get born this year. I mean, the weekend series in Knoxville was great. It was fun to watch. If they can pull this off and both of these teams can get to the final, I mean, it's going to be the only thing we talk about around here. It's going to be awesome to watch Vanderbilt and Tennessee get this done. Now, is that going to totally change how people view college baseball? I don't know. Like, I doubt very seriously, you know, in February of next year, we're going to spend an hour on the show breaking down, you know, Vanderbilt baseball and Tennessee baseball. It's just probably not going to be what happens. But I do think if we get a series of Tennessee-Vanderbilt, and that's the College World Series final, you can bet once conference play begins next year, we'll be talking about Tennessee and Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
We'll be talking about, you know, college baseball in March, which, let's be honest, I mean, we did a little bit here on the show, but not much.
No.
Because the interest level just hasn't been there. These last few weeks, I think, have been huge for baseball in this area. I don't know if it's a long-term change, but they're riding the wave right now. That's for sure.
Right. I mean, football and basketball, you know, you've got people who, I think, some fans who follow recruiting more than they follow anything else.
Yep.
You know? Now, I know some Vanderbilt baseball fans who are very attuned to, like, who they're recruiting and stuff, and it's like, man, you are a fan. But I don't think that's a big, big number.
No.
But stuff like this increases interest in all those things. And, yeah, it's only a good thing. And look, part of the formula is also in springs where the Preds go deep, it just is automatically makes it harder in this city, you know, for that sport to get as much attention. It's just how it's going to be. So yeah. There's a little bit of also outside factors that you can't control that can increase attention. But Tennessee being good and consistently good, and this being a rivalry, not just a rivalry of good teams, but rivalry of teams that can win it all, it's going to help the sport.
So some breaking news in the NBA. Chris Paul has been put on the COVID-19 protocol list, his status for the Western Conference Final, whenever that would begin, because the series right now between the Clippers and the Jazz ongoing, status could be in doubt for Chris Paul. So some breaking news on that front. Also, Kawhi Leonard, apparently not going to be available in Game 5 and may not be available for the remainder of this series for the Los Angeles Clippers as well, sustaining a knee injury in Game 4. He played great in Game 4. They evened up that series 2-2 against Utah, and now it looks like the Clippers may have to move forward, certainly in Game 5, but maybe the rest of this series without Kawhi Leonard. So two kind of very big news items in the NBA, with Kawhi Leonard being injured for Game 5 and Chris Paul being placed on the COVID list as well for the Phoenix Suns.
So Shams got this for us first on Chris Paul. I'm trying to understand, though, what exactly does that mean? I'm reading it now. Did he test positive?
I mean, that would be my guess.
It's just an interesting wording. And it's still depending on the medical circumstance. So there's no. It's just that he's entered the. Because, I mean, that could still be contact tracing.
Yeah.
Which is obviously a much different deal. But man, that's the thing. There's a reminder that it's still a factor.
Well, that goes back to the conversation we were having in the NFL.
Exactly. I mean, you're talking about in Phoenix, like, this is finally the year. You know, they should have won it. You know, when Barkley was the star there in 1993, but somehow they did not win that. I mean, they've got a great chance to win this thing, but not without him running the whole show. Man, that's a big deal.
Go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got Big O texting in. I have watched Tennessee in the College World Series before. It's not new for some fans. Just been a long time. I do think Vandy underachieved this year. They have a chance to fix it. They have a weak region, unlike the Vols. ECU came in after, as they say, can't wait. This coming from Big O, looking ahead to the College World Series. What do you think about Vanderbilt having a weak region to get here and now a weaker side of the bracket as well?
Well, I mean, if you go by any measure, East Carolina was a stronger opponent than LSU. I mean, really, like in performance. Now, some people say, yeah, but it's LSU and they have bigger recruits. But, I mean, East Carolina, I think it's a better team, period, than LSU. Now, I think definitely Tennessee had a tougher regional. I don't think there's any question about that. But I think both of them had to earn their way here. And Vanderbilt underachieving, I guess every year you want to win the SEC if you're Vanderbilt, or win the SEC tournament. It's hard to do, though.
You talk about underachieving. The Florida Gators this year underachieved.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
they're preseason number one.
Preseason number one and just blown the heck out of the tournament. I mean, shoot, now Arkansas is underachieving. You know, what matters? I mean, and honestly, even Tim Corbin has said this repeatedly over the years. Like the SEC, they want to win. They want to win it. They want to do it. But you are building to this.
Yeah.
This is when you make your money. Sometimes literally and sometimes figuratively. But, I mean, this is what it's about. So, nobody who made the College World Series underachieved. They had some ups and downs this year, and even Rocker and Leiter had a couple – you know, performances that weren't totally dominant, you know, to get their ERAs into the twos. You know, it's all perspective.
It's a tough one.
Yeah.
How dare you allow two runs? When we come back, we'll switch gears, get back into the NFL. Titans minicamp is underway. What stood out on the field yesterday for the Titans? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.